And welcome back, all of you. Glad you're along. And if you have been a listener of this program for any length of time, you'll know that there are some basic rules for survival that we need to continually mention. One, no needles, no elective needles, and certainly don't get any flu shots. We don't know what's in those. We really don't. You know the basics by now. It's not hard to figure out what not to do. But unfortunately, a lot of people think that they need that flu shot. This is not true. There's a lot happening. We'll go over some of the headlines and we're going to get started. We have some things for you tonight, as always. Hello back there in New England.
Hi there.
How you been?
Hanging
Is
in.
Kicking back?
No, not yet.
No, I know. All right, let's see. Where's my piece from yesterday? Here it is. Oh, that Thailand Medical News is putting out a lot of material all of a sudden. Some of it's not bad. You've seen it. I don't know where they came from all of a sudden, but they're getting circulated.
It is interesting. They seem to have come out of nowhere, but they are running some good stuff.
Most importantly, when it comes to needles, I always think of blood transfusions.
Right.
And we don't go there at all. Erica sent me a story yesterday about, it's on Twitter and it's getting some play, which is good. Now, this is something we've literally been saying for years. Vaxxed blood is poisonous and contaminated. Avoid all transfusions. That's a big story. It's an old story if you've been a listener of this program, but it's critical to understand that. I personally knew someone who got a transfusion. It was gone in 6 weeks. Didn't take long. The blood is not clean. They do not strain it, clean it, or otherwise put it through any kind of a process that would remove spike proteins, mRNA, DNA plasmids. They just don't. They're looking for a couple of things, and that's about it. Didn't they stop screening for HIV, or is HIV one of the last things they're really still screening for? I can't remember.
No,
but they're allowing people
who
are HIV positive to donate blood if they just wait a few weeks. I think that's, isn't that it?
No, they lowered the deferment time.
That's
what it is.
They
were supposed to wait if they'd had sex with, you know, the same-sex person. But I think they're still screening. It's just that if somebody were to donate blood and they were not producing the antibodies to the HIV virus
HIV,
yet,
that it's not going to show.
You know, there's a window that, you know, you could miss.
Right. Now, they've thrown that window pretty much out, haven't they? They're allowing people to donate a week. Isn't it a week or two after now they've had suspicious behavior or something like that?
I'm not sure, but it's quite a bit lower than it ever was. And I don't even know if they're screening or not screening, but eliminating for people who lived in the UK during the time of the mad cow outbreak.
Nope.
No,
we can't discriminate
against
people.
The standards have gone out the window.
So we've got to allow them all to be equal donors, right? Equal donors. No restrictions.
Well, I suspect they're having issues with the blood supply now because, you know, what should be a life-saving product is actually complicating people's conditions, if not killing them.
Right.
And I think it's, you know, they realize, well, we've got to clean it up a little bit. You know, there was somebody, a vax-injured person, that was getting IVIG, intravenous immune gamma globulin infusions, which this is very expensive. It's a highly processed blood product. It's basically immune globulin from donors, many, many, many donors. And she got a bad batch, it appears, and her vax injury was made, you know, infinitely worse immediately after having this transfusion that up until then had been, you know, very therapeutic in her case. So, you know, then that's one of several stories that have come to fore with people having, you know, resorted to blood or blood products for whatever reason. It's contaminated. It's not saving lives
no,
it should.
It's not maybe. It's not maybe. It's contaminated. Okay?
Yeah.
It's totally contaminated. They do not screen it. And when they pool all the blood donations, they pool them and then separate them out into the varying components that they sell off for profit. And it's all contaminated. That's my view.
Well, the big thing is they're not screening for the spike or the products
they
from
never
the
have.
Backs.
No.
So, you know, you're potentially getting the same ingredients that were in a vaccine or injection.
Right.
It's not really a vaccine. It's synthetic genetic material that you don't want.
No. Okay. They're also talking now about long COVID, all right? And they're suggesting that chronic Lyme is, in fact, long COVID. The symptomology is very close, if not identical, in many ways. So they're sort of using one bioweapon to hide another bioweapon, because Lyme was a bioweapon, in case you didn't know it.
Well,
the first case of Lyme was found within 1 mile of the ferry dock from Plum Island and the mainland. Within 1 mile, that's where the first case of Lyme ever appeared. So they put it together on the Plum. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was a bioweapon. And many people now have been infected with the spirochete, the Borrelia burgdorferi spirochete bacteria.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people have said that just about everybody living on, well, in this country anyway, is infected with it. But for the vast majority, it is not a problem. You can live with it as long as you have an immune system that can keep it in check. You'll never know you have it.
And then what happens when you get your injection and your immune system goes into the can?
All hell breaks loose. Yeah, well,
these
injections are destroying the immune system so that these normally quiescent pathogens are able to take advantage of that and start to proliferate and causing a long list of symptoms.
Long list. That's a very lovely word that you don't hear very often anymore. Quiescent. It's a nice word. I remember that.
Well, dormant, quiescent.
When people used to have vocabularies, you'd hear words like
that. Practitioners are saying that for the vast majority of people who are experiencing symptoms, whether from long or having had the infection and not recovering from the infection and or the injections, they are testing positive for Lyme and Epstein-Barr. And if that's true, you know, if the viruses have reactivated, yeah, they're going to make these people miserable. And you know, these Lyme bacteria are neurotropic and can invade the nervous system and the brain. And they are strongly correlated with many cases of ALS. And in fact, sometimes when you treat for Lyme, the antibiotic cocktail, which would have to include metronidazole or Flagyl, mm-hmm. You can ameliorate the symptoms of ALS. There have been many cases of misdiagnosed ALS that's actually neuro-Lyme. So
correct.
It's important that if you're dealing with a neurological issue that you rule out Lyme, and not all of the laboratories, commercial laboratories, are in a position to adequately test for it because they don't have the right antibodies for the right antigens to detect the Lyme. So that Igenix lab was for a while there. It's been some time since I've delved into that Lyme research, but Igenix was the one that came out with a test that could really detect these quiescent Lyme pathogens.
Nasty.
And there's, you know, the co-infections that go with them too, the Babesia, the Bartonella, the Ehrlichia, and these can all be reactivated after COVID, the infection, or these injections.
As your immune system fails, all these things
yes.
come back. Babesiosis,
yep.
Never heard of it before. Now it's around. These invaders coming in here, we talked last hour just briefly. I don't want to get off the track, but a judge, an Obama judge, said that as far as she's concerned, these illegal migrants, or whatever you want to call them, and she didn't like to call them what they are, invaders, are going to be allowed to carry guns in this country.
Great.
Can you believe this? This is insanity, what's going on here. Everywhere you look. Now, on the other side of the illegal invaders, and that's redundant, the invaders are bringing not only their sick physiologic, their bioweapons, okay? Let's just call them what they are. Many of them are bioweapons. They're bringing in disease. They're spreading disease. Tuberculosis may be the most notorious of them. Now, in the UK, they're noticing all of a sudden they've got more TB than ever. TB infections rising in the United Kingdom with nearly 1,000 cases so far this year already. That's from Thailand Medical News again. And it's probably far higher than that. You know how they keep these stats under control and use them however they want. They don't really know because they're not testing anybody. Certainly dormant TB is probably ragingly common now, certainly among Latinos here. Anyway, think of these people as bioweapons, walking biological weapons, okay, in addition to weapons of many other configurations. This is extremely dangerous and dreadful, and it boggles my mind that that people aren't rising up. They're not rising up. Not enough. And
they're hiding it enough that people don't really see how bad it is.
Yeah, well, in any case, yes, that's true. One other quick note on health. Many of you heard the stories about how all plastic containers for food, packaged food, processed food, whatever, are giving off chemicals and microplastics, tiny little pieces of plastic in every bottle of water that's in a plastic container. Now, they've found over 16,000 different chemicals in common plastic products. 16,000. So if you're eating food out of plastic, you're rolling the dice. Don't forget that.
No, not that we have a lot of choice. You know, that information has been out for some time, though, the issue with microplastics. And I don't know why all of a sudden it's making headlines again.
I always think misdirection when that happens.
Yeah.
We're finding it in
arterial plaque.
Right.
You mean like those embalmer clots? Are you trying to imply that they're made of plastic?
There is some outrage now, at least it's making a little news here and there, about this so-called, this new discipline of organized medicine. It's called gender medicine, right? Well, somebody said that is quackery, the likes of which hasn't been seen for centuries on this planet. Gender medicine. And it amazes me at how many doctors are jumping into this field of destruction of human lives, and pushing it forward as if it's some kind of legitimate medical procedure, gender medicine, and all the surgical aspects thereof. It's just horrible. We've lost our way.
Didn't somebody, some state or something is going to outlaw or did outlaw, or they're intending to?
I'm going to guess it was Idaho. There was some law they passed where, I'm just guessing, but I think I might be right. Yeah, this is crazy. And the whole idea of confusing these little children in fifth and sixth grade, seventh grade, and not telling their parents about any of it, right away building a barrier between the child and his or her parents. You don't have to tell your parents if you want to identify as being a girl, Bobby, don't worry about it. It's okay. We'll back you. And Bobby has nothing but peer pressure all over him, and he'll say, I don't want you to tell him. So they've driven a wedge in the family with that, not to mention the simple fact that they've driven a wedge in the family through smartphones. Those things are just catastrophic for families.
Mm.
Awful.
Yeah, they are.
Here we go. Let's see what we have here. Anything else you want to top off with before we jump into our magic bus?
No, let's get on the bus.
Here we go. This is the Children's Health Defense Bus. We call it the Magic Bus. It's going all over the country, recording first-person, anecdotal, but first-person accounts of being injured or otherwise impacted by the bioweapon vaccination or other vaccinations as well, such as the flu shot. I don't know, do we have anything new that would make us become suspicious of the flu shots yet? They were going to switch them over to mRNA platformed shots, but
yeah,
I don't believe
to my knowledge, that hasn't happened yet. You know, I'm sure they will tout it when it does, but as far as I know, it's still the traditional, either grown in eggs or what was the other one? It was
I can't remember.
I'm drawing a blank now.
There's
the dog kidney cells, and then there's another one. But no, they're still grown in the traditional ways.
Right.
But you remember back in 2018, 2019, there was something funny different about those flu shots.
Yes, there were.
And what that was.
Different things. I don't know.
But you'll see the moral of this particular story that this woman's going to relate is you can't trust these things because they won't disclose what's in them. And even if they do, you can't trust these people.
Look, stay healthy. Stay away from large crowds of people, and you won't get the flu unless you're incredibly unlucky. Just protect yourself. Eat properly. If you have to go into a store, don't be afraid to put a mask on for 15 or 20 minutes. What do you have to lose? Nothing. All right, here. On the bus.
Okay, we are live, and this guest of ours here on the bus does not want to be recognized for, you know, the usual reasons, people. Okay, tell us, well, you probably don't even want to tell us your name. Tell us your story.
Hello, thank you for this opportunity. I am a nurse for many years. When I was 16, I got my first flu shot, and I immediately had an allergic reaction, which for me manifested as severe abdominal pain within an hour of the injection, and I could not go to school the next day. I was in bed. My pediatrician said, "She is allergic. Don't give it to her ever again." That came to my parents through me to my parents. Years went on. I developed asthma. I developed autoimmune kidney disease, which was self-limiting. It went away in a year. Went to an allergist who confirmed my flu shot allergy and became a nurse, worked on an ICU. Because I worked on an ICU, they wanted me to get the flu shot, quote unquote, to protect my patients. Even though I told them I was allergic, they asked me the reaction, and this is the employee health doctor at work. They told me, that's not an allergic reaction, you need to take it. So I took it, I had the same kind of a reaction, and this time I was out of work for 2 days. So I changed jobs, moved to another state, took another job on an ICU. Same exact thing happened. And at that point, I started to refuse the flu shot, and they were not mandated at this point. But they did encourage nurses to take them, and they were manipulative. The next job I got in another hospital, and it was a major research center, they thought that also that was not really an allergic reaction, I should try it. So I took it, and that time I was out of work for 3 days with the exact same reaction. But this time when I went to employee health, they told me, yeah, you're allergic, we're not going to have you take it again. Again, it was still not mandated.
What would she be allergic to? Not the attenuated flu virus. What would she? Oh, excuse me. There are no such things as viruses.
There's other proteins. When they grow these things in culture, they have to add a nutritive broth to it. So,
right.
You know, there are traces of whatever kidney, or I'm sorry, whatever cells
that
it was grown in.
Yes.
It might be eggs. It might be, you know, bovine calf serum. It might be Maiden Darby dog kidney cells.
Okay.
You know, and then there's adjuvants, mercury, aluminum,
well, we learned that in the Gulf War, for sure, adjuvants and all the dangers therein. So there are a lot of components in these shots. I don't know how we can get people to really understand the danger we face now by taking any injection of almost anything? You just don't know. You can't do your homework. We can't, to find out and ascertain what's really in these shots. So I think in 2019, I think you're right. I think they were testing something. They were watching. They're always using people. They don't care.
Sure. Yes. Yep.
All right, here.
Years later, I ended up working in another situation as a nurse. This time I was working in hospice. And because of the nature of hospice and the immunosuppression of them also, and my father was terminally ill at that time, I decided to take the flu shot, mm-hmm. because everyone kept telling me that I was not allergic. And so I decided, well, maybe they're right. Maybe my body has changed after all these years. So I took it, and I was lined up with a bunch of other people, just, you know, how they give them one after another. When you work in healthcare, they just line you up. And within 20 minutes, I started to feel dizzy. But I worked in a situation where I had a downtown office, and then I had to take a bus to go uptown. So I got on the bus, and by the time I got there, 45 minutes later, I was not feeling well at all. But this time I was dizzy, a little nauseous, but mostly dizzy. Got into where I worked, and my colleagues looked at me and said, "You look terrible. You should go home." So I should have gone to the ER, but for whatever reason, I went home. I took a bus and went home, and I went to bed, and I was incapacitated with abdominal pain at that point for a number of hours. And probably about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I got up to use the bathroom, and I passed out, and I hit my rib on the chair on the way down. But that actually woke me up, probably saved me from hitting my head. So I kind of dragged myself over to the bathroom, and then I passed out on the floor, and I woke up at, I don't know, 11:30 or midnight, scared, alone. But I thought, oh, well, okay, and I dragged myself to bed, where I stayed for the next 2 days. I didn't even call my own doctor because I didn't feel well enough. And I was so out of it that I couldn't think that I should get up and call my doctor. So eventually, thank God, I recovered. And when I went back to work, I found out that a number of people around me had also been sick from this shot. So I did also call my doctor, who freaked out, and he said, my private doctor, he said, you know, all those other times you had hepatitis. You should have asked me first. I didn't. I should have. But he said, never take the flu shot again. And I'm going to send you to an immunologist. So I went to an immunologist, and she was world renowned. And I bring that up for a reason. She said to me, never take another vaccine in your life, because you will never know what you're allergic to in it. You have so many allergies to antibiotics, all kinds of things. And so
aren't allergic reactions just your body trying to defend itself ultimately? Of course.
Yeah, it's a hypersensitivity response, and
exactly.
You know, you take a risk when you inject really anything.
Anything. That's why we keep saying no needles. Just don't do it. Oh, you need a tetanus shot. No, I don't. No, thank you. No, no.
She told me that, and she also told me, you'll never know what you're allergic to because you'll never know what is in the flu shots. She told me she'd just come back from a meeting somewhere. They are making vaccines in different ways now. And they will never list the full ingredients because they're proprietary and they have the patents. And therefore, she said, if I was you, I would never take another vaccine in your lifetime.
I would hope a doctor at some point would announce that I am never giving another vaccine in my career. No more vaccines. But you don't hear that, do you? They'll tell a patient like this one, but they'll keep giving them out. That to me, that's crazy.
Well, every time I see, the only way out of that is they have to exit the system. Because right now they're beholden to a certain standard of care.
Yeah, exactly.
And if they, you know, don't uphold that or violate that, then they risk, what, malpractice or losing their job.
Well, they'll lose their career. But I'm wondering if this career in many cases is even worth keeping. I don't know.
Well, they're using them to you know, perpetuate all kinds of atrocities right now. That's clear.
You got it. Here we go.
And so that's how I lived my life. And then also to let you know that when I went to where I worked and I reported to them what happened to me, and I told them I knew everyone else around me had been sick too, I said, what can we do about this? I think you need to contact the company and let them know. And they said, well, there's VAERS. And I said, well, can you write a report? And they said, no. And I said, okay, then I'll do it. I'm a nurse. And they said, we don't suggest you do that because we'll find out. So that had a chilling effect. So from that point on, I never took another vaccine. And then it became mandated. And then the flu shot became mandated for healthcare workers. I had a medical exemption. No problem getting that at that time. And I was verbal with people at work telling them why, because I told them my story, because I always thought it was a good story to tell so people would understand and also know that they know their bodies, and if something is not good for them, they should be able to advocate for themselves. Finally, when it got, the COVID shot got mandated for healthcare workers, and I went to my doctors to get my medical exemption. They wouldn't give it to me, and I had even a doctor that knows me really, really well said to me, you have to take it because you won't have a life if you don't. And I said, well, I won't have a life if I'm dead. And so that's my story.
Well, a lot of people have left us now. They're no longer around. They're gone. And it's largely ignored by the mainstream media cartel that's running people's minds. They're telling them things that aren't true in many cases. And it's a big lie by omission. That's the biggest mechanism they use. They just don't talk about it. So it's not existing.
Well, she had a valid reason. Medical,
she sure did.
And her own doctor who knew her history.
Shame on that doctor. That's not a doctor. That's not... No, that's a physician.
No.
Heal thyself first. That's a corrupt person. Sorry. No. And she knows full well, and she just presented it to all of us, that they'll change the ingredients in the flu vax, and probably the COVID vax too, anytime they want, and hide it under proprietary cover. It's an umbrella.
Yep.
It's proprietary. We don't have to disclose it. So you do not know what those people are putting in your body. And I have talked to so many people who said that I never got vaccinated when I was a kid. My parents wouldn't allow it or whatever. And I've always been the healthiest kid in my group. And that's the truth. You see, none of these shots are worth a damn. In my view, I'm not speaking for Erica. I'm not speaking for anybody. But I think they're damn dangerous. And I would not. No. Nope. Nope. You're fine without them.
And the evidence is you know, bearing that
it's
out
huge.
Now. I mean, the
it's
data.
Yes.
And, you know, for what little protection you might get, you're trading it for increased risk of allergies, autoimmune disease, asthma, and eventually cancer.
You bet. All right, well, that's a very interesting story, that one. They're all fascinating.
This is a tragic.
Terrible. Terrible. Remember when they gave the ultimatum, the mandate, to all America's health care practitioners, all the health care professionals, had to take the COVID vax, or they would lose their jobs. Well, the good news is, if you remember, about one-third of them walked. They chose life over the unknown, and at that time, when they made that ultimatum, it was pretty clear that these shots were killing a lot of people. So one-third left. The two-thirds that remained, who formed the backbone of the remaining professional healthcare industry, had all taken the shots. And we know now that judgment is impaired. We know now that there are mental processes that are being interfered with and ruined. So a lot of these people that took the shots to maintain their professional status paid a big price. But you don't hear about that now. You're not. It's covered up.
Yep.
And I'll say one more time. Every time I see a nurse or a pharmacist, and pharmacists are giving these horrible bioweapon injections, every time I see one of them, I look at an accomplice to murder.
Yeah.
I just despise them. No.
I don't know how they can keep doing it. I'm sure in the past 3.5 years, they've seen their share of adverse events play out right in front of them.
Right in front of them. Okay, I want to mention something that we should be mentioning more often, and we forget to. But Allison C., in these days, may be more mandatory, if you're ever going to use that term, as a nutritional supplement, which does a hell of a lot more than that. Allison C. is gold. It is the most effective, all-natural, broad-spectrum antiviral, antibacterial in the world. It is astounding what this product is doing for people. And on the other side of that coin, we want to urge you to get on the Bio Superfood Express. That's the train to extraordinary health improvements. Everything you can imagine. Imagine in each capsule, there are over 15,000 different nutrients, many of which your body needs but never gets because of your restricted toxic diet. So all of a sudden you're going to get nutrients and nutrition that you'll never otherwise get with Bio Superfood. The banner's on the homepage. Please go through the banners because they know that we're making a difference and informing people. It helps us. It helps them. But Allison C. and Bio Superfood, I can't think of any two more important all-natural products. Allison C. is made from organic garlic grown in Spain, created in the UK and brought over here and encapsulated. And this Bio Superfood came out of the Kamchatka Peninsula in far eastern Russia, where it's grown underground and then brought to Canada and encapsulated there as well. So we've got two really fabulous products there, and I hope you'll take a look at them.
Yeah, I really like that Bio Superfood. I've been taking that for years.
Yeah.
And it does. It has everything you need to replicate a healthy cell.
I think you could almost live on it if you had to.
It might not have the right amount or
ratios.
Sufficient amount of you know, macronutrients, meaning proteins, carbs, and fats. But in terms of the micronutrients, there's nothing, no denser, nutrient-dense food than that.
It was, in case you didn't know or don't remember, it was created by the Soviet government, the medical authorities, a huge program to try to find something to help detoxify hundreds of thousands of people, millions in Ukraine, who were subjected to the Chernobyl fallout and all the disasters that came from that terrible accident. And this product, Bio Superfood, ended up being overseen and worked on by over 600 clinicians and scientists and technicians. It was a huge program, and it was so successful at helping detoxify people from radiation, among other things, that it ended up being a total staple for those people over there, and they believe in it to this day. Now we've got it over here. There's only one place you can get it, and we hope you'll give it a try and see if you don't notice a difference. 15,000 plus different nutrients in every capsule. And in Allison C., over 35 cloves worth of Allison in every capsule. And no odor, no smell. It's just the Allison. And it's another game changer. Okay, thanks for listening to that. And we wholeheartedly recommend that you look into these things, please. All right, next up, let's go back to our COVID Chronicles file and see what we've got. Santa has been here. Wow. Look at all those readers. Very good.
No shortage of readers nowadays.
No. All right. Well, I see, let's go with the pets dying from shedding. It's very short, but this is a very big and important subject. Go ahead.
Someone says, any reports of shedding onto pets? Just about every one of my COVID-19 jabbed friends have lost their pets over the last 2 years. I've lost count.
Okay, this is a very important little statement. Very important. Just about every one of my COVID jabbed friends have lost their pets over the last 2 years.
I've seen that too.
Major alarm. Yeah, this is a huge alarm.
Yeah, these animals are very vulnerable to the shedding. Yeah. You know, their bodies are smaller, their metabolisms are faster, so
don't let people handle your pets. You don't know if they're necessarily injected. You don't ask everybody if you out for a walk with your dog. Don't let anybody touch him. Say, he bites. Don't. And they'll back off. Whatever you have to say. You don't want your dog contaminated or your kitty. So these are our friends. Many people.
Well, and be mindful, too. If you've been out and about in public and you're around, well, you know, when are you not around crowds of vaxxed people nowadays? You know, you bring this stuff home on your clothes.
You bet.
It sticks to your clothes. It sticks to your hair. So, you know, if you've got a pet at home and you're bringing that stuff home, that's a risk to the pet.
It's not a joke. We're losing a lot of pets. We've been reporting on this from the very beginning. We were worried about it, then we began to see a few reports and then more reports.
Yep.
And I do need to get some. If any of you out there are veterinarians and might like to contribute to what you're seeing in terms of overall graphing of dog and cat health, what are you seeing in the last 2-3 years? I'd be very interested. We'd like to know. So if you can do that, just, you know, drop me an email. We'll definitely take a look. Okay. We've been very much intent on helping you understand about CJD, which is, we'll call it mad cow, just to be short. Same idea. CWD in deer. You don't want to be eating venison. Deer now with mad deer disease it's close to 40 states now, and it's spreading. So that's a bad one. All right, another CJD victim. Let me see here. What do we got? Oh, we got somebody on a motorcycle. Looks like a Yamaha or something. Is that a lady or a gentleman?
That's her husband. That's a gentleman. Yeah.
All right. I don't mean to be facetious. It's some pictures are misleading.
Well, it's a gentleman with long hair.
Yes. My sweet husband was diagnosed with CJD yesterday. We've been frantically trying to find answers for his rapid decline beginning about 4 months ago. Now we know. So many of you have already lost your loved ones, and I'm so very sorry for your loss. I'm trying to cope with this new reality and would love to hear any advice or stories you might want to share. What should I expect? Was hospice able to keep your loved one comfortable? Thank you all. And there's a picture of her husband in what looks like he's kind of a sling in a care facility. Anyway,
They're probably attempting to move him.
Looks like it. Yeah. Okay. Take the next CJD.
My mom started having symptoms in September 2023. Now she can no longer move or speak. They told us it's genetic CJD.
That's
I believe the
months.
Trigger was...
Erica, yeah. That's 6 months.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
I believe the trigger was the 3 doses of Pfizer. And someone says to that, my husband was perfectly healthy. He had the COVID booster on Saturday, was feeling ill on Monday, and then he passed away with sporadic CJD after 2 months.
8 weeks.
Yep. And then another one says, I think this is what happened to my father also. It happened so quickly after the booster. Next one. I believe that, too, as well. It was the Pfizer shots. I've been having difficulty trying to find out what type of CJD my husband had. How were you able to find out the type of CJD your loved one had? She answers, I was told sporadic. And she's in the hospital during hospitalization, they did the genetic test. I'm not sure that's possible. I think it has to be done at autopsy, but
it's a brain analysis.
Yeah, they've got to take, I don't know, maybe
fluid?
They can. The molecular testing they have now, they might be able to do it from a spinal fluid sample, maybe. And last one, my baby girl was, this is a translation from Portuguese, sporadic CJD, and also no one can get it out of my head that the Pfizer vaccine was the trigger.
No question. They're calling it sporadic. I would suggest that some of these cases, after people are certainly multiply vaxxed, and the booster seems to be that seems to be pushing you over the edge to real catastrophe, those booster shots.
Yes.
We don't know the difference, actually, what's in them for sure. But it's not good. It's not good. I think a lot more people are on the way out with CJD than we'll ever know right now. That would be my guess. It's only a guess, but I think it's all over the place. Prions in the brain. Prions can be anywhere, of course, but the brain, taking the brain out, is kind of like that's the final straw. You can go after the heart and the liver and the kidneys and lung, but you go after the brain with prions. It's goodbye. Goodbye. End of the line. All right, what do we got here? Looking for information on how to do and who does microbiome DNA. Microbiome DNA. You want to tell us what that is?
Well, I'm guessing this person is referring to having her gut microbiome profiled.
Right.
So you submit a sample from a stool sample, and they can, from that, determine what types of bacteria are present and whether they're, symbiotic and favorable or pathogenic.
All right. Well, this lady, all right, I'll start again. Looking for information on how to do and who does microbiome DNA, spike testing, and an electrophysiologist with experience with vax injuries. This is my last-ditch effort to find help for myself before I move to the next step of end-of-life care. Thank you. And there's a response. I've gotten myself into remission for 6 months and counting. Please don't give up. Feel free to PM me. What's that? Message?
Personal message. Personal
message me. I don't know all this stuff. Feel free to PM me anytime. I'm happy to share any information I have, and most importantly, share some hope. And the response. Also, if you click onto...
That's the same person.
Same one?
Continuing. Yeah.
Continuing, okay. Also, if you click onto my picture or search my name in the search bar up top while in this group, it should show you past posts and comments where I talk about what I'm doing. It's mostly diet and commonly available supplements. I also find LDN, low-dose naltrexone, very helpful. All right, go ahead and finish this one off.
Okay, she comes back and says, yes, mine isn't going to change with diet. I have a defibrillator in my chest and have heart complications, but thanks. And this person says back to her, I am so very sorry it has come to that for you. This whole thing is terrible. I also have heart problems that are not cured, but have become much more manageable. Mm. All things metabolic affect the heart, including diet. If in metabolic acidosis, as many of us are, the heart is highly affected, and we can get what appear to be neurological symptoms that are actually metabolically based. Yeah, good answer.
Yeah. Yeah, very good. What's a nurse's response to Dr. David Cartland?
Well, this was a few weeks ago when that British doctor, David Cartland, was pleading with the medical
establishment.
The establishment, but the doctors primarily that are staying mum on everything that's going on. A nurse responded to that plea, and this is what she said. A reply from a 19-year experienced RN to a recent Dr. David Cartland tweet. 26 of us from the COVID unit were fired in 2021 for refusing the experimental shot. Six charge RNs included. Some of the best nurses I've worked with. We saw what the, quote, pandemic was, crickets chirping, and what happened after the shot came out, ER exploded with business. Besides personally knowing a respiratory therapist who got fast-growing esophageal cancer out of the blue and died, my friend's healthy 20-year-old dropped dead and was found by his dorm mate. No conclusions by autopsy. He was an athlete. I'm sure he had an arrhythmia that caused his heart to stop from spike protein damage. I've been an RN for 19 years. I've worked in acute hospital care my entire career. Much of that has been in the float pool, so I see all the adult specialties, cardiac, neuro, surgery, oncology, orthopedics, general medical. I keep track of all my patients' COVID-19 vax history and their hospital presentation. Most have had 2 to 8 shots at this point. The more shots they've had, the worse off they are, it seems. Many head toward comfort or hospice. I could recite countless stories of what I've seen over the past 3 years, but there are HIPAA laws that prevent me from doing so. It's all the usual stuff. Heart attacks, strokes, new onset seizures, brain tumors, uncontrolled AFib, cancers coming out of remission and new cancers, vertigo falls, broken bones, a lot of this, blood clots, superinfections, fungal infections, new onset altered mental status, and early onset dementia. The stuff you've been hearing about. You probably know someone with one or more of these. While the pro-vax crowd would call this anecdotal, I know this shot has targeted genetic weakness and accelerated problems that may not have been showing up at all if people's immune systems hadn't been suppressed by the spike protein damage. I've never seen anything like this in 19 years. Thankfully, I was only off 2 months, but I had to relocate to get a job with exemption. I'm a mole in the system, warning my patients and coworkers not to get any more boosters. One person at a time. Aren't nurses one of the most trusted professions? Jen.
Well, you know what they did here in the beginning of that little story? They annihilated an entire nursing cadre in a very specialized field. They just wiped them out. What, did 26 were let go or fired? Something like that.
Yeah. Yep.
So just these are invaluable people. And they're just being trashed. All right, COVID Vaccine Injury and Action Support Group. All right. Hi, just to introduce myself, I'm 53 years old. I've always been fit and well. February 2021, I had the AstraZeneca jab, thinking this was the safest. I'm now 3 years on, and my ailments are getting worse. I first started with twitching on my left tricep muscle the day after the jab. I had MRSA, MRSA, shingles at the same time, lost partial use of my left hand and leg. That has eased, but I can't walk unaided and struggle with walk initiation. I was diagnosed with motor neuron disease in 2022, and then in 2023 told it's not now, I'm being investigated for Parkinson's disease or Parkinsonism. That's a weird one. This has left me unable to work and support my family. My self-esteem is extremely low and getting no answers. I'm due a dopamine test in May. I've been prescribed dopamine tablets, three different types, with no results. Does anyone have any, have symptoms, anything like this? And can anyone help? I've tried the antihistamines, nicotine patches, you name it. I've given it a go.
Yeah.
Go ahead. We've got time for another one here.
Another one, AstraZeneca. Hi. I had two AstraZenecas and a Pfizer in mid to late 2021. I'm now 67. From the moment I had them, I felt constantly severely unwell. Flu-like symptoms, dry, irritating cough that takes weeks, if not months, to clear up. It never completely goes away. Severe joint pain, lack of strength and energy, brain fog, tiredness, irregular heartbeat, amongst other things. 24/7. I constantly feel like I'm going to collapse on the floor and cease to be alive. Am I overreacting? Could it be coincidence? I keep hearing about red blood cells clumping together and DNA, RNA changes. Has anyone out there got any solutions or help? Many thanks. P.S. I'm lying in bed at 2:40 typing this as I have no prospect of sleeping with a coughing fit every 15 seconds.
How many people like that out there, dear friends? Can you imagine around the world who are suffering like this, who have no voice? Doctors just kind of blow them off and shift them over to another specialist. There's no resolution for these things.
I know. Now, some people the first step is gaslit, you know, made to believe that you're just
constantly
overreacting or imagining this.
Yep, it's your problem. Yeah.
Or unrelated to the vax. Trying to wend your way through such a bureaucratic system that is set up to deny is
it's
a challenge.
A thankless, almost an impossible task. One more quickie here, headaches. About 6 months after receiving my Moderna booster, I began having migraines, something I had never experienced before. I have now had chronic migraines for the past 2.5 years. I'm never without pain. I've tried countless medications, supplements, and dietary changes without success. The migraines come with nausea, tinnitus, dizziness, difficulty with fine motor skills, and speech, and fatigue. I've had two MRIs, which don't show anything significant. I don't know if vaccine injuries can have a delayed start or not, but it's the only thing I can attribute to the significant changes in my health. Has anyone also experienced anything like this? Go ahead and wrap this one up.
All right. One answer. Yes, I had symptoms almost immediately, but it was months later when things became positively horrendous. There were a myriad of steps I took to sort it out. My situation was I had to get inflammation out of my head and proper oxygen to my head. I had engorged veins in my head, excruciating pain from the trigeminal and occipital nerves, inflammation and terrible reactions to food with glutamate. It took a while to realize that. And I had severe and terrifying cognitive issues. I also went completely numb for 7 months. Glutamine solved the food-causing inflammation issue. Natokinase and serapeptase and vinpocetine helped restore, well, to be honest, proper oxygen to my brain. I had so much inflammation that eventually my ears were almost closed and my eyes bulged from my head. I was afraid the right one would fall out.
Wow. Okay, again, the panorama of symptomology wrapped up in these terribly devastating injections is almost limitless. Everyone feels and describes things in their own way. But without these groups, I often think there would be a lot more suicides out there. These people have no one else to talk to. No one. No one. Their family has turned against them. Remember that one family, they said to the, I think it was a woman, they said, the husband said, we need a date. When are you going to get better?
Yeah, it was her husband and her own mother.
They both did it. They teamed up on her. Right. All right. We're running really late, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
So thank you. Wonderful job. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Good night, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we'll be right back. Hang on.